We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Agriculture is one of Pennsylvania's top industries, contributing more than $132 billion to the state's economy and employing 593,000 people. The state produces $10 billion in ag products and recently passed a historic milestone. As of 2022, Pennsylvania's poultry has surpassed dairy as the number one ag product in the state. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, poultry now accounts for $2.6 billion in Pennsylvania, compared to dairy's $2.5 billion. Why is that change significant, and what does it mean for farmers and consumers going forward? Philip Gruber is the news editor of the publication Lancaster Farming, who has reported on this and is with us on The Spark today. Philip Gruber, welcome to the program.
Hello.
So why is poultry production surpassing dairy production in Pennsylvania significant?
Well, dairy has been the number one industry in Pennsylvania for a long time, decades, really. And poultry has been, catching up. It's been on a growth trajectory, been growing pretty fast for some time. Dairy has been, treading water or something similar to that.
In practical terms, what does this look like on the ground, on farms, for example?
Yeah. So, you'll still see plenty of the same dairy barns around. It's, you may not be able to tell if the farm is there or not, but the number of dairy farms has actually been declining pretty steeply. The period 2017 to 2022 covers some real periods of volatility, including some lows and some real highs in the dairy pricing. But you'll see a lot more poultry barns. If you looked at the landscape over the past 20 years, for example, you'll have seen a lot more of those big poultry barns coming in. And, it's just another opportunity for farmers to make a living. And of course, some of these dairy farms have added poultry as a way to, make added income. It's a little bit more of a stable revenue stream than dairy can be.
Why is that when you say it's more stable?
With dairy, a lot of it is at the mercy of the market. So, these milk prices have been pretty volatile over the last 10 years here. With poultry, there are ways to make more or less money on your check, but it's a pretty steady stream. If you're producing eggs or broilers, that's on a set production schedule. And you're on a contract, and which runs for X number of years, and that's all kind of set up.
One of the things that makes a difference here as well is there's a milk marketing board that sets prices for dairy products as opposed to poultry products. How does that factor into this?
Yeah, the board, which was renamed the Pennsylvania Milk Board at the beginning of this year.
Forgot about that, yeah.
The board controls certain things, which is like the retail price of milk, the minimum price. They set a premium for certain types of milk production. So that helps with some of the pricing, but a lot of the pricing is actually handled at the federal level.
In what way?
There's a whole system called the Federal Milk Marketing Order System, and that sets a lot of the price of milk. It's pretty complicated because only certain areas are considered part of the milk marketing orders. There's a whole system of pricing for which is based on the four classes of milk, beverage or fluid milk, soft products like your yogurts and things, cheese and butter / powder. Those all have different prices, and it all is goes together with how your milk is used from your particular farm. It goes to a processor, and what do they make with it? So it's all very complicated. The federal order system just had a hearing to look at some adjustments to their formulas, and it took 6 months to do that hearing series because there was just so much.
And these are people who know what they're doing, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there's not too many people who can understand the milk pricing system all that well.
Well, earlier you said that dairy is often impacted by the market. But when you had government having a big say in setting prices, does the market really set the price of dairy products?
The dairy, to some extent, it does have market factors built in. And, increasingly the export market affects our prices as well, because we have grown to be about exporting roughly 20% of our dairy production in the U.S. So, that argument is it's happens in the dairy industry, how much regulation is appropriate. And, I don't know if I could give the definitive answer to that, but the federal system is designed to prevent an even greater degree of volatility than we see, which could, the fear is that, if you had prices go so low and then, you'd have a lot of farms go out of business, but 6 months later, a year later, you need that milk again. Well, then you wouldn't have it. So it's a tricky thing.
We're going to talk more about that a little bit later in the program, but I want to get back to poultry. I have to say that I was somewhat surprised because of the avian influenza epidemic that has impacted poultry flocks. Just 10 minutes ago, someone asked me what we were talking about on the program today, and his reaction was, even with avian flu, poultry is now number one in the ag sector. So apparently avian flu didn't have that much of an impact.
Right. I mean, avian influenza did cost Pennsylvania about 4 million birds. And the threat is still there that we could have future outbreaks. But really, 4 million birds is a relatively small part of our Pennsylvania production when you're talking about millions and millions of laying hens and broilers, the meat chickens. It's a concern, but it hasn't totally devastated the industry or anything.
What has the state done? This is kind of an update question, but what has the state done? Maybe even local farmers or some of the associations that represent the poultry industry. What's been done to protect against avian flu?
Yeah, I mean, we do have a recovery fund in the state, and that's received a good amount of state funding these past couple of years. And that's something that really other states have not done. So that's helped with business continuity for farms and businesses that have been affected by outbreaks. The State Agribusiness Trade Association has been involved with some things with stockpiling some of the supplies that are used for depopulating the houses that have to go down. Also the Center for Poultry and Livestock Excellence is always working on funding research and grants and things to help the resiliency of the industry. Mm.
Maybe I should have provided this definition or asked for a definition up front, but when we're talking about poultry, what are you referring to? Chickens, turkeys, just what comes under the poultry heading?
Yeah, all of that. I think Pennsylvania's calling card might be egg production, but we also have meat birds, the broilers, turkeys. We have a decently significant commercial duck production industry in Pennsylvania. But we also have, you know, a lot of smaller sectors or things you wouldn't think about. All those, the farms that are producing the eggs and the meat are supplied by breeder flocks and by pullet farms, which produce the young laying hens before they've started laying. We have some specialty birds that are often raised for ethnic markets. We even have some farms for like pheasants and game birds, and even eggs that are used in vaccine production.
Hmm. You know, you talked about the volatility of milk prices over the years. In just in the past year, when we've been talking about inflation in this country, eggs was one of the products that a lot of people pointed to. So inflation has not harmed the market for eggs, or has it?
I mean, eggs, it's a little bit hard to dent the market for eggs just because they are such a an affordable source of protein. That's true of all poultry, really. You know, it's hard for beef, for example, to beat poultry on price. There's certainly lots of other reasons people like to eat beef. You know, I think that affordability and versatility are a big reason that chicken and eggs and everything have seen this growth over these recent years.
So eggs are kind of like gasoline in that people need them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a staple thing. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are some people who adjust the number of eggs that they buy based on price. But there's certainly lots of people who, you know, I need to get my dozen eggs every time I go to the store, especially if it's going to snow.
Well, okay. Now, I was waiting for that. I was waiting for that. Why people say bread and milk, they should add eggs into that as well. What are the benefits to farmers? You touched on this a little bit earlier, but what are the benefits to farmers who produce poultry as opposed to those who produce dairy products?
Like I said earlier, the there's potential for a more steady revenue stream. Generally, poultry farms can be bigger. You know, you can see million bird flocks for like laying hens. Pennsylvania dairies typically are fairly small, often under 100 cows. I mean, we certainly have some medium to large farms as well, but the economies of scale are really there with poultry. Often with poultry, you're working with a contracting company. If you think about it, like Tyson Foods or Souders Eggs, something like that, those companies may own the birds and you own the house, an arrangement, something like that. So that can be, you know, a way to reduce your risk if that's something you're interested in, that type of arrangement. With a dairy farm, of course, you're owning your own cows and you're owning your own buildings and everything. Dairy farmers may be contracting directly with a plant like Harrisburg Dairies in Harrisburg, or they may be part of a cooperative that handles the marketing and everything and may own its own plants too. So there are different business models. Both of them, you know, can be an option depending on, you know, what you're interested in.
There are more than a million chickens or poultry flocks in this state. I mean, I have to say that that's one of the things that I never knew. I mean, I knew there were large poultry operations, but more than a million chickens or I don't know about turkeys or anything.
No, a lot of turkey farms I've seen, you know, it's maybe more like 10 or 20,000.
Okay,
just
I was going to say.
Rough numbers.
It's a lot of.
Yeah, bigger birds.
A billion would be just not enough room for them. But I mean, getting back to that million chickens, that's a lot of chickens.
Yeah, it depends on the production system. You know, we have these traditional cage systems that fit a lot of birds into a space. Some of these newer production systems where you have more of an open floor plan. Obviously, you're not going to fit as many birds in there. but you know, you still may have tens of thousands of birds.
Hmm. All right. So let's go back to dairy for just a moment. You touched on some of the challenges that dairy farmers are facing in this state. How would you describe the dairy industry in Pennsylvania right now? I mean, is it healthy? Is it declining? Just what?
I think a lot of dairy farmers would say, you know, they kind of feel that it's declining, just partly because of the number of farms has been declining. Somewhat steeply, depending on the year. I think in other parts of the industry, you know, you might say that it's kind of holding steady. I mean, we're still having that production. There's opportunity to grow production depending on what rules the buyers, what kind of incentives or disincentives they have. And, you know, there still is a huge market in this region. There's just so many people in the Northeast. So it's you know, not, I don't know if I would, how many farmers would like me to say that it's thriving. I don't know if that would really capture it, but it's an industry that's still really important to this state and still has opportunity to grow. Mm.
Per cow milk production is something you mentioned in your story about poultry and dairy. You wrote that Pennsylvania trails other states when it comes to per cow milk production. First of all, what is that and why does Pennsylvania trail other states?
Yeah, so a Pennsylvania cow produces on average about 21,000 pounds of milk per year. And if you compare that to the other top dairy producers, that's pretty low, actually. In Michigan, which is the number one real industry leader there, it's more like 28,000 pounds per cow per year. And that per cow production is, factors into your cost of production. If you can spread, if you can produce more milk from the same number of cows, then it's cheaper to produce. And so it's a difficult relationship between small farms and big farms. You can't just say small farms are going to be inefficient, but there are things you can do to improve milk production. Some of it is genetics, some of it is management, like keeping the cows, giving them comfortable bedding, and reducing udder infections. So there's a lot of things. It's an issue that has frustrated professionals in the industry for 20 years about how to help Pennsylvania increase its milk production.
I have to say, in my 15 years of hosting this show, udder infections is the first time it's ever been mentioned. But, some of those things sound fairly simple to increase production. I mean, like bedding and things like that. What's being done in Pennsylvania by Pennsylvania dairy farmers to increase production?
Yeah, I mean, we just on the topic of cow comfort, that is something that I think farmers are pretty well familiar with. And, you know, it is an investment, though, if you're going with some of these mattress systems or if you're going to put in composted manure bedded pack or something. If you don't have that right now, it's going to take some money to do that. And grants are available through the Center for Dairy Excellence, which is a state organization that supports the dairy industry. And yeah, so there are some opportunities available.
You know, when we talk about consumers, are consumers eating more poultry and are they drinking less milk?
Yeah, I don't know the numbers on poultry, but it certainly is our number one meat here in terms of consumption. Milk drinking has been declining. Overall dairy consumption is increasing. People are not maybe as they don't have as much time to eat cereal or something in the morning, but still like that cheese. Everybody likes ice cream. Pretty much.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of options in the dairy industry.
Yeah. So is other than milk, I mean, I have heard that cheese production has increased, and you don't know whether people are eating more poultry.
I don't know the short-term trends, but I mean, the long-term trend you know, has been poultry is really strong.
Mm-hmm.
With
poultry surpassing dairy, what does this mean for farmers in Pennsylvania and the ag industry going forward? We have about a minute left.
Yeah, I mean, I think dairy and poultry are both still very important. It's not like the dairy industry is going away. Dairy and poultry combined, their value is pretty similar in dollars. And, you know, really, the two of them combined produce half of Pennsylvania's ag products. So these are both really important industries. I expect them to continue to be number one and two for a long time. There's certainly other growth areas in the state, if you think about hog production, any number of crop things. But, you know, this is a big animal ag state, and it's going to continue to be that.
Mm. Philip Gruber is the news editor of the publication Lancaster Farming. Philip, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks.